Well, praise the Lord. This is Minister Van, and I'm excited about our message this evening because God has just reminded me through his word of just how we can get through anything when we believe and we trust and obey God. Let us go straight to the word, to a prayer right now, and we're going to get straight to the word. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God. I thank you, Father, for giving me this message. I thank you, Lord God, that I know it's not me, but it's you, Lord God, that this is your word, Father, and I'm only the vehicle, Lord God. I claim victory in every aspect of the listeners right now in the name of Jesus. Father, you said in your word that when it goes forth, it will never return unto you void, that it will go out and accomplish that which you have purposed for it to accomplish. We thank you, Father. We ask right now that everybody that's listening, Lord God, will share this word with others, Lord God, so that others will know, God, just how they can get through during these difficult times. Lord, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you, Father, for giving us every tool we need, that we are already overcomers, Lord God. We thank you for reminding us, Lord God, that we can do all things through you, Lord God. We thank you for reminding us, Lord God, that your word is settled, forever settled in heaven. We thank you for reminding us, Lord God, that there is nothing impossible with you, that with you all things are impossible. So now, Father, I ask that I be able to decrease, Lord God, and that your word would take the place of anything that I, that self would have me to say. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank God. Amen. Amen. And amen. In the midst of my mess, Jesus. In this life, there are going to be some uncertainties. In this life, there will be disappointments. In this life, we all will have challenges. In this life, we will all have storms. We will all have struggles. We will all have missed opportunities. Yes, we all will sometimes feel like nobody truly understands. Yes, in this life, we all will sometimes feel like nobody knows the struggles we face. In this life, we all will sometimes feel like we are fighting an uphill battle. In this life, we all will feel sometimes like there is no one that really, truly cares. But guess what? I'm here to encourage you this evening. I'm here to remind you that Jesus does care. I'm here to tell you that he does understand. I'm here to tell you, to remind you, that even in the midst of our mess, Jesus is still there. For it's during these difficult times when we are struggling with these challenges. It's during these difficult times when we are struggling with these issues. It's when these difficult times come, when we are faced with decisions to do right or to do wrong, that the battle of the will of good and evil occurs. You see, it's in the midst of my mess that I have to make a choice. It's in the midst of my mess that I struggle the most. It's in the midst of my mess that I oftentimes miss the opportunity to show Jesus strong. I oftentimes miss the opportunity to get myself out of the way and allow Jesus to take the helm. So I'm here to remind you that if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you already have everything you need to run with confidence this race that he has set before you. I'm here to remind you that you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. I'm here to remind you that you can move forward with the confidence in knowing that even in the midst of your mess, he's the one who can make it right. It's during these times that you need to let go and let God. Let his word remind you that you are not facing these difficult times alone. Let his word remind you that there is no temptation that has occurred where he would not make a way for you to escape. For it's in the midst of your mess, it's in the midst of your hard times, it's in the midst of your trying to do it on your own, it's in the midst of your mess that the enemy would try the hardest to make you doubt God. But hear this, and hear this very clearly, that if you abide in him and allow his word to abide in you, there is no good thing that you can ask and he won't give it to you. If you abide in him and allow his word to abide in you, he will take that mess and make it, turn it around for his good. That's what the word says. Don't trust me, trust his word. Even in the midst of your mess, if you turn to Jesus, it will be all right. Even in the midst of your mess, if you truly lean on God and not unto your own understanding, it will be all right. Even in the midst of your mess doesn't have to have you. Your mess does not rule. You can take authority through the messless name of Jesus Christ and say to that mess, I'm going to use this situation for God's kingdom building. I'm going to use this trial for God's kingdom building. I'm going to use this test for God's kingdom building. I don't know how, I don't know why, I don't know when, but because Jesus knows, I'm just going to trust him. I'm here to remind you that if you cast your cares upon Jesus, the burdens will fall from that mess. They will fall from your shoulders. I'm here to remind you that the battle really is not yours, but it's the Lord's. The Holy Spirit will remind you that you're never ever alone, for his word says that he will never leave you nor forsake you, that he will be with you to the very end, John 14. I'm here to remind you that you can have the confidence of knowing that even in the midst of your mess, he still loves you. I'm here to remind you that even in the midst of your mess, Jesus is still there. And so you can have the confidence of knowing that Jesus is your great protector. Proverbs 18:10 says that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runs to it and is safe. Yes, there is shelter from the storms of life, and that shelter is in Christ Jesus. So I'm here to remind you that even in the midst of your mess, Jesus is still there. So you can have confidence of knowing that Jesus still cares for you, that Jesus still knows what's best for you, that Jesus still wants you to come to him. In the midst of your mess, that is, in the midst of all your trials, your battles, your challenges, your madness, your tests, and yes, in all of your missed opportunities, I'm here to remind you that Jesus is still Jesus and that he still has his eyes on you. I'm talking about Jesus who cares about the precious sparrow. I'm talking about Jesus who spoke to the mighty wind and said, peace, be still. This is the same Jesus who will speak peace into your bad situation today, even in the midst of your mess. I'm talking about Jesus who, even in the midst of your mess, can calm your raging sea. I'm here to remind you that Jesus is the only one who can make all things right. I'm here to remind you that Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning of all things and the end of all things. I'm here to remind you that Jesus is the only one who can feel what you're going through. He's the only one who truly understands. He's the only one who can wipe those tears away from your eyes. Yes, even in the middle of the night when there's no one else around. You see, Jesus sees those tears. He feels the pain. He hears the moans. And he is ever ready to wrap his loving arms around you, for there is none other like him. Yes, Jesus is the only one that can turn your sorrow into gladness. He's the only one who can turn your weeping into laughter. He's the only one who can turn your midnight into morning. He's the only one who can truly make a difference in the midst of your mess. I'm here to remind you that there is nothing too hard for God. If the bank says no, if the doctor says it's too late, if the employer says not you, God says not true. For greater is he that is in you than he who is in the world. And now you may be asking just how I know these things to be true. I can speak with confidence because I believe in his word and because he's done these things for me over and over again. Not because I've been so good. Oh, no, no, no. Not because I have it all together, for certainly I do not. Not because he loves me any more than he loves you. No. But I can speak with confidence because of experience. I can speak of confidence because of his grace and his mercy. His grace and his mercy that he's extended towards me. Not because I deserve it, but because he loves me. For you see, I know without a shadow of a doubt, in the midst of my mess, Jesus is still a miracle worker. In the midst of my mess, Jesus still forgives me. In the midst of my mess, Jesus still loves me. In the midst of my mess, Jesus still comforts me. In the midst of my mess, Jesus is so long-suffering with me. In the midst of my mess, Jesus protects me. In the midst of my mess, Jesus still cares. And he's shown his compassion for me over and over and over again. Yes, we all struggle with the will of good and evil. But you know what? We can take lessons from my brother Paul if you go to Romans, the 7th chapter, you see here, Paul knew what it felt like to wrestle with the need to do evil, even when he knew what was the right thing to do. Paul knew that the Holy Spirit could help him. Our struggles today are not unlike Paul's struggles were years and years ago. The Living Bible paraphrase in Romans, the 7th chapter, starting with 14 verse, reads, and Paul is saying this here, so the trouble is not with the law, for it is spiritual and good. The trouble is with me, for I am all too human, a slave to sin. I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. But if I know that what I'm doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is good. So I'm not the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. 18. And I know that nothing good lives in me, that is my sinful nature. I want to do right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. 20. But if I do what I don't want to do, I'm not really the one doing wrong. It's the sin living in me that does it. Is there anyone listening to me tonight who can identify with our brother Paul? Oh, in the midst of my mess, Jesus saved me. Yes. He didn't wait for me to become perfect, and he doesn't wait for you to become perfect, for he knew that that would never happen, you see. In the midst of my mess, he reached down and pulled me up and covered me with his blood, precious blood. Thank you, Father. Jesus is the one that frees us from our life dominated by sin and death. Paul continues in Romans, the 7th chapter, 21st verse. I have discovered the principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart, but there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is within me. This is the King James Version. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? And then Paul answers the question, you see. For in verse 29, he says, thank God, the answer is in Christ Jesus our Lord. For you see how it is, in my mind I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin. I praise God. I thank God. You should read that in the King James Version and in the Living Bible paraphrase. Paul's King James Version starts off in the 24th verse, but oh wretched man that I am, and I'm sure you and I can say that today, oh wretched man that I am, and you often can ask the question, but you have the answer. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? We know, I thank God, through Jesus Christ, it is he who shall deliver us from this body. Amen. You see, in the midst of my mess, Jesus saved me. And even today, he continues to love me. He continues to care for me. He continues to forgive me over and over again. I thank God that we are not living under the law of Moses. But the Bible lets us know that the law could not save us. You see, John 1 and 17 says, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Romans 5:2 lets us know that it is Jesus we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And all of this was made possible because of his forgiveness extended towards us, towards all of us, you see. For Titus 2:11 lets us know that it was the grace of God that brought salvation to all men. Praise God. I'm so glad that included me. And I know you're glad that it included you as well. You see, his forgiveness is huge. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, Jesus doesn't want us to continue to beat up on ourselves. For even in the midst of our mess, you see, he cleanses us when we come to him with a repentant heart. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So there is now no condemnation awaiting those who belong in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 1:7 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Praise God. Now I ask you the question, just how rich is his grace? Just how rich is his grace? I tell you this, all the money in the world could not cover it. There is no price that could cover what Jesus did for us when he paid the debt for our sins on the cross. And just as Jesus forgives us over and over again, we too are to forgive those who mistreat us. When we forgive others, we actually set ourselves free, free to live this abundance life through Christ. You see, Matthew 18:21-23 says, "Then came Peter to him and said, 'How often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him?'" Peter asked the question, "To seven times?" And Jesus responds, "Until seven times, no, but until 70 times seven." And because of his forgiveness, we know with certainty that his love is also big. For in the midst of our mess, Jesus still loves us. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Matthew 5:44 says, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." And get this, 1 Corinthians 13th chapter talks about love. It said, "Love suffers long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love does not puff up itself. Love aboutest faith, hope, charity, these three. But guess what? The greatest of these is charity, which is love." Which is love. Psalms 139:17 also lets us know how much he loves us. He loves us so much that his thoughts are precious towards us. For the psalm says, "How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them." You know, we can't even imagine. We can't even count the sum of how precious his thoughts are towards us. Because of his love and his love that he extended towards us, his huge forgiveness towards us, because of all of this, his protection towards us is so awesome. In the midst of my mess, Jesus still protects me. Psalms 138:7 says, and this is the Living Bible paraphrase, "Though I am surrounded by troubles, you will bring me safely through them. You will clench your fist against my angry enemies. Your power will save me." I want you to think about that for a minute. In the midst of my mess, in the midst of your mess, Jesus still protects us. Psalms 18:2 says, "The Lord is my fort where I can enter and be safe. No one can follow me in and slay me. He is a rugged mountain where I hide. He is my savior, a rock where none can reach me, and a tower of safety. He is my shield. He is like the strong horn of a mighty fighting bull." I don't know if you get this. If you get this, if you really get a hold of this. Let me read that again. Psalms 18:2. "The Lord is my fort." This is a fort that no man can penetrate. "Where I can enter and be safe." There is safe. It's a safe haven. "No one can follow me in and slay me. He is a rugged mountain where I can hide. He is my savior, a rock where nobody can reach me, a tower of safety." You're talking about protection in the midst of a storm. You're talking about protection. When the enemy wants to do me harm, he can't come nigh me because the Lord, the word tells me that the Lord is my fort. The word tells me he is my shield. The word tells me he is like a strong horn of a mighty fighting bull. I'm talking about protection. In the midst of my mess, Jesus still protects me. Sure, we will have difficult times. Jesus doesn't tell us that we won't. But what he does tell us is that we can hold firm to that though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Psalms 37:24. Praise God. And for those of us who can and do believe his word and follow his commandments, we can hold fast to the promise found in Proverbs 3:24. "When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, thy sleep shall be sweet." Can you imagine? Yes, you can imagine. Because God gives us this precious, precious protection and peace. Even in the midst of our mess, he protects us. Even in the midst of our mess, if I submit to him fully, if I trust him totally, if I cast all my cares upon him, he will work miracles out of my mess. If I trust and stop doubting, he will take my mess and turn it into a marvelous thing. He will work everything out for my good. And he'll do the same thing for you. That's the kind of God I serve. Praise God. For you see, in the midst of my mess, Jesus reminds me that I am everything that God says I am. In the midst of my mess, Jesus reminds me that I should not be moved by what I see, nor by what I feel, nor shall I be moved by what I hear. I should just trust in God. In the midst of my mess, Jesus reminds me that I am more than a conqueror, Romans 8:37. In the midst of my mess, Jesus reminds me that I am a new creature, 2 Corinthians 5:17. And because I am a new creature, it's already done in the spiritual, while in the physical, this is a daily process. And it's through this daily process that Jesus wants to mold us and make us into his image. And get this, unless we go through something, we can't be refined. You see, iron sharpens iron. We got to go through the fire to find out we won't be burned. If you don't go through anything, how do you know that you know that you know? Instead of crying out, Lord, take this away from me, how about seeking comfort in his word and asking him to share, to let you know what you can get out of this mess? And yet, while the process may seem sometimes painful, you can rest in him, knowing that he knows the plans he has for you. Jeremiah 29:11. You see, in the midst of my mess, Jesus lets me know that no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. In the midst of my mess, Jesus assures me through his word that I am redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Psalms 107:2. In the midst of my mess, Jesus reminds me that he is a rescuer. So whenever you hear me say in the midst of my mess, you personalize it and you say in the midst of my mess, referring to yourself. You know, Psalms 91 lets us know how awesome God loves us, how awesome he'll be with us wherever we go. Psalms 91, Living Bible paraphrase says, we live within the shadow of the Almighty, sheltered by the God who is above all gods. This I declare, that he alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I'm trusting in him. This is God who will shield us with his wings. And then the seventh verse said, though 1,000 fall at my side, 10,000 are dying around me, the enemy will not touch me. I will see how the wicked are punished, but I will not share it. For Jehovah is my refuge. I choose the God above all gods to shelter me. How then can evil overtake me or any plague come near me? The 11th and 12th verse says, for God orders his angels to protect you wherever you go. They will steady you with their hands to keep you from stumbling against the rock. For stumbling against the rocks on the trail. And the 13th verse says, you can safely meet a lion or step on poisonous snakes. Yes, even trample them beneath your feet. You see, the enemy should already be under your feet. In the midst of your mess, I'm here to remind you that Jesus wants you to walk by faith and not by sight. I'm here to remind you that Jesus wants you to know that if you are walking contrary to his will, all you've got to do is turn to him with a repentant heart, ask him to forgive you, and he will quickly restore you. He doesn't want you to live in condemnation. Remember, it is the enemy who condemns. The enemy's purpose is to try and keep you in bondage so you would be an ineffective witness to others. Remember, contrary to what the enemy wants, which is to condemn you, the Holy Spirit wants to convict you. His conviction is a reminder that we should go to him with a repentant heart and receive reconciliation. Galatians 5 reminds us to stand fast, therefore, in the freedom with Christ has indeed made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. This bondage is what the enemy uses to steal our joy. Jesus said he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly, which means more fulfilling. While the enemy wants to steal your joy, he can't do anything unless you give him that power. For you see, he has no power except you give it to him. Jesus says, this joy I give unto you, and the world can't take it away. Are you willing to give it away? Let the joy that is in Christ Jesus be yours today. Embrace it. Even in the midst of your mess, allow this joy, this unspeakable joy, to become your friend. Whenever the enemy attempts to throw weapons your way, weapons like doubt, discouragement, fear, weariness, and all those things that go contrary to the word of God, you simply have to refuse to accept them. Refuse to accept them and counter them with the word of God. Refuse to accept anything that's not of God. Remember, all good and perfect gifts come from God. If it isn't good and if it isn't perfect, it does not come from God. So especially in the midst of your mess, turn to Jesus and live his wonderful fruit of spirit, his fruit of his spirit, love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Those all are found in Galatians, the 5th chapter. You see, when you walk in the spirit and not in the flesh, your mess won't overtake you. For even in the midst of your mess, these wonderful fruit of his spirit will enable you to master anything through Christ, from where you get your strength from. Embrace what God has already given you today. Embrace his beautiful, wonderful fruit of the spirit. So just to wrap it up. In the midst of your mess, Jesus is still a miracle worker. In the midst of your mess, Jesus still forgives you. In the midst of your mess, Jesus still loves you. In the midst of your mess, Jesus still comforts you. He's still patient with you. In the midst of your mess, he's still the protector of all protectors. In the midst of your mess, Jesus still cares. And because he's a miracle worker, and because he still forgives, and because he loves you, and because he still comforts and protects you, and because he's still long-suffering with you, and because he still cares so much about you, there is hope. The hope that lies within you. So all you need to do is reach far within and grab a hold of that hope right now. The hope is what will sustain you. Embrace it and let it be a beacon in the midst of anything you may be going through at this very moment. Let this hope, the hope that is within you, remind you that Jesus, the Christ, is still Lord. Let this hope that's within you remind you that you don't go it alone. That Jesus said, I'll never leave you, forsake you. That he said he'll be with you always, even to the end of time. Let this hope remind you that you have the greater one living within you. Let this hope remind you that you can do far exceedingly everything that you could even imagine through Christ, which gives you strength. Let this hope remind you that you are already a conqueror through Christ. Let this hope remind you that you have a friend that will stick closer to you than any brother. Let this hope remind you that this friend is through Christ Jesus. He will be a father to the fatherless, a brother to the brotherless. In your lonely hours, reach out, reach from within, and allow this hope to remind you that through Christ, it's already all right. It's already all right. It's already all right. In the midst of my mess, Jesus still is on the throne. Praise God. Now, I wouldn't be able to close without giving you an opportunity to accept him as your Savior if you've not done that. Because of everything I've said and shared with you tonight, if you haven't accepted him as your Savior, you truly won't be able to live that victorious life. Because see, you cannot do it on your own. You have to have Jesus. You have to accept him as your Savior and allow him to become your Lord in order to live this victorious life. So, if you haven't accepted Jesus as your Savior, it's not too late. For if you are hearing this message right now, if you are hearing my voice right now, it is not too late. Right now, Jesus stands ready with arms open to welcome you home. If you're not saved, if you have not repented of your sins and accepted Jesus into your heart, if you're not 100% sure that you would spend eternity into heaven, listen, right now, nobody on this earth can save you. Trust Jesus today. There is only one way to God, and that's through his Son, Jesus Christ. John 14:6, Jesus says unto him, and this is Jesus speaking, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So I ask you the question right now. Are you saved? Are you born again? Have you made the confession that Jesus Christ is Lord? You see, Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So the first thing you need to do is admit that you are a sinner, my sister, my brother. Romans 3:10 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. The second thing you need to do is be willing to turn from your sin. That's true repentance. You need to believe that Jesus Christ died for you. You need to believe that he was buried and that he rose from the dead. For Romans 10:10 says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And the fourth thing you need to do is through prayer invite Jesus into your life to become your personal Savior. For Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So if you've not called upon the name of the Lord, you can do that right now. You can do that right now. Just repeat this prayer after me. And you need to do it with a repentant heart, because God knows your heart. I don't know your heart, but God does. So if you truly want to accept him right now as your Savior, repeat after me. Dear God, I am a sinner and I need your forgiveness. I believe that Jesus Christ shed his precious blood and died for my sin. I am willing to turn from sin. I invite Christ to come into my heart and my life as my personal Savior. Amen. If you just trusted Jesus as your personal Savior, let me tell you something. You are truly now my brother and sister, and you have just begun a wonderful new life in him. Praise God. And guess what else is happening this very moment? The angels in heaven are rejoicing over your soul. The angels in heaven are rejoicing. So now you need to get a good Bible where you can read it every day to get to know Jesus Christ better. Talk to God in prayer and allow him to talk to you, and then find you a local church where you can fellowship with other brothers and sisters in Christ, because it is through the unity that builds strength. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you right now, thanking you, Lord God, for this word that went forth, Lord. We thank you, Father, because in your word there is strength. In your word there is hope. We thank you, Lord God, that through the midst of it all, Lord God, that you can take our mess, Lord God, and use it for an opportunity, Lord God, to show yourself strong. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord God, for lifting these burdens off of our shoulder and for allowing us to cast them upon you, Father. We thank you, Lord. We claim victorious lives right now in the name of Jesus. For we will continually walk by faith and not by sight. We love you. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. Lord God, we from this day forward, Lord God, we strive to walk according to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank God. Amen. Amen. And amen.